Although more than 1,000 books have been written about Ronald Reagan, most of the volumes have focused on the years of his two-term presidency or on his life as a whole. One key period that has remained unexplored is the time between his failure to obtain the nomination at the 1976 Republican Convention and his rise from the ashes just 4 years later when he was elected President of the United States. In his new book, Reagan Rising, The Decisive Years, 1976 to 1980, Craig Shirley offers an incisive exploration of the Gipper's remarkable political ascendancy and the conservative renewal that he spearheaded. Craig Shirley is the author of several biographies on Ronald Reagan, and he joins us this morning to talk about Reagan Rising, The Decisive Years. Craig Shirley, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Sure, my pleasure.
As a presidential historian, what brought you to not only Ronald Reagan, but these particular years in his political development?
Well, I guess, I was always politically involved from the time I was a child and worked on many campaigns as an adult, and including the Reagan 80 campaign, and then worked in support of the Reagan administration through the Republican National Committee and the inaugural committee, and then worked with a lot of groups that were in working in concert with the Reagan administration, aid to the Nicaraguan Contras and the Strategic Defense Initiative. So I was always very in close proximity to the Reagan White House and worked very closely with many of the members of the staff there. So, and I've always, I was a history major in college, and I've always been a writer. And then 10 years ago, I started writing books, various books, not just about Ronald Reagan, but that's probably what I'm most become known for. Is this is now my fourth book on Ronald Reagan, but I've also written books on Newt Gingrich and World War II, and will continue to write books about American political history.
So when you look at this particular period, you note in the book that this really remains unexplored, that time between his failure to obtain the nomination at the 1976 Republican Convention to his very successful, obviously, campaign of 1980.
Yes. 76, of course, was his second time running for president of the United States. Now, that's not something you can do today. Now it's one and out. You either get the nomination or you're out. But Reagan had run in 68, lost, and run again in 76. But I think that speaks as much to Reagan's compelling drawing power as much as anything, because most candidates don't get the second bite of the apple. Richard Nixon did, of course, but that he came so close in 1960 that it was almost compulsory that he'd be nominated in 1968. But this time in between 1976 and 1980 is so critical because it's the end of the New Deal. There's tangible evidence that liberalism is failing at every level. Liberalism is not defeating the Soviet Empire. No, liberalism is not making the economy grow, the economy shrinking. The American people are beset with high interest rates and hyperinflation, stagnation, as it was called at the time, the Carter malaise. There was really almost a dystopia across the land, as if America's day was over and the American century was going to actually end 25 years early. Reagan stepped into this breach, and his message had not changed from the time he first burst on the scene politically in 1964. His presentation did change, and it became more hopeful and more optimistic than it was in the 1960s. And it was the confluence of the right man at the right time to produce the right results.
You refer to these as the wilderness years. Why that particular word, wilderness, and what happened in those 4 years that brought him to a point? I mean, how much of it was him and how much it was what was happening within the country?
Well, I think it was both. It was happening in the country and Reagan himself. Wilderness is commonly understood phrase. Churchill had his own wilderness years after the conservatives rejected him in England in 1931. And as a matter of fact, Martin Gilbert wrote a book about Churchill, wrote many books about Churchill, and one of them was called The Wilderness Years, where Churchill was out of power, out of favor, and his future was uncertain And, of course, Richard Nixon also went through his own wilderness years from 1962 to 1968. You know, and so did Reagan. This is a time, you know, he was 65 years old in 1976. A lot of the intelligentsia said his time had passed, it was over, that he had nothing more to offer. His campaign aides had moved on to other candidates. The Republican Party never liked him anyway. The political establishment never liked him. The media establishment never liked him. So it was really just he and Mrs. Reagan, he and Nancy, alone, literally in the wilderness, without the support of the elites, but very much beloved by the American people. Because while the elites are saying, you know, forget Reagan, move on, he's going out among the American people, and he's giving speeches, and he's raising money for campaigns, and he's testifying, and he's leading the charge on so many issues. And he's being implored by everywhere he goes, by cops and by firefighters and by cabbies and by chambermaids. You know, is that every place he goes in the country, every day average American people are coming up to him saying, Governor, you've just got to run again. You've just got to run again. And I'm convinced that as much as anything made him, impelled him to run one more time in 1980 was the feedback he got from everyday American men and women.
It seems, and I got this impression from reading it, reading the book as well, that I don't know that that would happen today, right? It seems that once you've had your time and
yes,
it hasn't come, people move on to the next thing, especially when someone is older.
Yes, and I think too, I think you're absolutely right, and it's a sign of the times too, is that we're very, very impatient with our political leaders and with our heroes and with the figures of American history, is that they need to respond now. They need to solve the problem now. They need to answer now. Is that the fierce urgency of now, because of social media and because of cable television and because of all the other forms of instant communication, we want instant gratification. We don't want to wait a few minutes or a few days, a few weeks or a few years. But I think Reagan is such a historic figure that he is able to do things that other politicians aren't able to do, and that is that make people wait for him, because he's such a compelling figure of history.
You point this out, that during these 4 years, he's attacked from all sides. He's considered too extreme for the liberals and the moderate Republicans. Too old, as we mentioned. He's an actor. He's a B-movie actor. Is that a guy that we want in the White House? It didn't.
Right.
He had experience in politics, but it didn't go beyond California. But on the other hand, his primary opponent was George H.W. Bush,
right,
the director of the CIA. So how did that set him up to be able to take all of those negatives and ultimately turn them into positives, or at least enough to win that election?
Well, Bush was a good foil for Reagan. Bush was everything Reagan was, and he was rich, he was preppy, he was moderate, he was country club, he was Brooks Brothers, he was button-down collars, he was, you know, wingtip shoes. He was everything culturally that Reagan wasn't, and it provided a good contrast for Reagan, because the Republican Party was moving in those years and picking up the support of Reagan Democrats who were formerly blue-collar, or still blue-collar Americans who didn't cotton to country clubs and what they thought was snootiness and everything else like that. Now, the fact of the matter is that George Bush was and is one of the most decent men in the history of American politics. He's an American hero, almost dying in World War II. But there was a cultural disconnect between himself and Republican primary voters. And whereas there was always a cultural connection between Reagan and Republican primary voters.
So when you look at the message, how much did that change over 4 years, the ideology of Ronald Reagan?
The ideology did not change, and the message did not change, but how he presented the message changed. He changed. He was somewhat dark in 1964 when he was campaigning for Goldwater. But he realizes by 1976 that's not going to work, is that the darkness is already present everywhere with the Carter recession and with the malaise and with the Soviet advances. He needs to project hope, and he does so because Carter gives up the mantle of the issue of the future, which had been part of the Democratic Party since 1932. And Reagan picks up the mantle, and he starts talking about the future and opportunity and prosperity. And it's Carter who's talking about scarcity and a future of sacrifice and people will have to do without and go without in the future. And the American people didn't want to hear that, and certainly young Americans didn't want to hear that.
When you look at the story, as you say, you've written a lot about Ronald Reagan, and
yes.
You've written a lot about this man and his political life. How do you put this into perspective, and what do you hope the takeaway is from reading this particular story about these very distinct 4 years?
Well, they're going to read about a man, I believe, Joe, of man of determination and grit, and a man who was one of the most competitive SOBs who ever lived. He hated losing. He relished a good political fight. Is that nothing would set his would sharpen his focus and would get his attention more than a good political battle. He actually relished these type of fights. It brought out the best in him. Competition always brought out the best in Reagan. When he was coasting, he sometimes made mistakes, but when he was challenged, he became focused and intense and really was at his best, as he was in the debate with Jimmy Carter in 1980, where he was directly challenged, as he did in the Nashua debate with George Bush in 1980, as he was directly challenged. So they're going to a man who had many, many setbacks and yet never let those setbacks stop him from pursuing his quest, whether it was to be a good actor, or to be the best host on television, or to be the governor of California, or to be president of the United States.
Craig Shirley is the author of the new book, Reagan Rising, The Decisive Years, 1976 to 1980. It is published by Broadside. Craig Shirley, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Reagan Rising. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.